It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. What happens when a utility company loses a major industrial customer due to a plant closing or facility shutdown? Other ratepayers might have to pick up the slack. A Superior, Wisconsin utility company wants to raise its rates for electricity, water, and gas due in part to the projected loss of income following the Husky Energy disaster in April. Some residents are pushing back, saying rates are already high. We talked to a WPR news reporter about the back and forth on this potential increase, and we'll also get the latest on a new program that offers treatment rather than a jail sentence for drug-related offenses. Superior residents, let us know, how do you feel about this proposed rate increase? And what concerns you here? What do you have? What questions do you have? Or does this make sense given changes that are needed and what has happened with Husky? Tell us more about what you think that way, too. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Daniel Kading is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter in Superior and host of the regional program Hear Me Out. Danny, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, John.
So first of all, let's talk about what's behind this rate increase request from Superior Water, Light, and Power.
Yeah, they're requesting this rate increase for a number of reasons. One that they say is the most important is because they're making major improvements to upgrade their system. They've been repairing a lot of water mains and lines in the city, and they're also doing work at their water treatment plant, and they're repairing an electric grid or electric station in the city. And so that's one reason that they're saying that this is important, that they need to raise rates right now. Another part of that is the fact that Husky Energy saw a series of fires back in April, and they are Superior Water, Light, and Power's largest water utility customer. They use 25% of the 843 million gallons of water that were sold last year. So they're looking to raise electric and natural gas rates by about 2%, and then they would raise water rates by about 8%.
Some local residents have suggested that since Superior Water, Light, and Power buys its electricity and natural gas from other suppliers, they could just buy less and skip the rate increase.
Yeah, they can buy less, and they will save money, so it's not like other municipal utilities that would be under stress if a large utility customer were to go out of service like that. But they're saying that because of these improvements that they're making, I think they spent around $18 million this year in capital improvement projects, that they need to increase their rates in order to pay for those projects.
So let's talk about the water side for just a second, because 8% increase, that sounds like a lot of money. But Water, Light, and Power is saying, well, look, we've put off a lot of improvements to the infrastructure, why do they need to do them right now?
Well, they need to do them right now, they say, because they've been putting it off for so long, and they can't do that anymore. So they're saying that, you know, we've tried to keep costs down for years, and we just can't afford to do that anymore in order to keep people drinking safe, reliable, clean water. So that's why they're doing it now. You know, one of the reasons that Superior's water utility, where their rates are higher than most water utilities across the state, is because it's a privately owned water utility. And the Public Service Commission considers the rate of return. They set that a little bit higher so that they can make payments to shareholders. So that's one reason why utility customers in Superior are seeing a little bit more expensive monthly water utility bills than elsewhere in the state. I think Superior pays, according to Superior Water, Light, and Power's Paul Hope, Superior pays $50 per month on average for their water utility bill. And that's for 3,000 gallons of water used. You compare that to Eau Claire or Madison for 4,000 gallons of water a month used, and that's around $20 a month. So they're paying much higher than other larger cities in the state.
Local residents are quite understandably not happy with this. They had a chance to weigh in during a public hearing recently. Tell us about how local residents are feeling.
Well, they cited a number of reasons why they're not happy about this rate increase. One being that Superior Water, Light, and Power already increased their water rates last year by more than 9%. They did decrease natural gas rates, but residents are upset that they're having to shoulder yet another increase, and they feel that Husky is partially to blame for that. They also perceive a lack of efficiency in the way that Superior Water, Light, and Power is doing their operations. And Superior Water, Light, and Power is saying that one reason, Superior customers may be seeing a higher monthly water bill, for example, is because there's a fire protection fee that's included in their utility bill, and that sets it a little bit higher for some rural communities in the state.
So public protection, a fire protection fee, explain what that is.
So there's a fee that's included on the utility bill that goes, it's like a property tax fee that goes to pay for the cost of fire protection in cities. That never used to be a part of the utility bill. That used to be a separate fee that was assessed by cities. But it has since become included in that to provide the cost of, responding to fire calls.
Responding by the local fire department or by Water,
yes.
Light, and Power?
Yes.
Okay.
By the local fire department.
Okay. All right. So did the has the request had any support from community members?
Has it had any support? If there is support for the project, it wasn't voiced at the hearing. There have been more than 160 comments that have been filed online as part of this rate request. I know that Enbridge, another large utility customer here in Superior, is asking to decrease their rates because they want to see that come more in line with the cost of service because they feel they're paying more right now than it costs Superior Water, Light, and Power to serve them.
And of course, if their rates go down, then the rest of the ratepayers have to pick up the slack.
Yeah, according to the Wisconsin Citizens Utility Board, residential ratepayers could see their rates increase by 6% if the commission approved a decrease for Enbridge.
So, speaking of Husky, what's known about when they'll return to normal operations?
Well, Husky is saying that they're trying to come back online as soon as possible, but they don't expect that to happen until 2020. So that there's going to be a while yet before they come back online and start using a lot of water here from the water utility. And the Superior Water, Light, and Power is trying to account for that in this rate increase, where they've been having conversations with the commission over how to make an adjustment if Husky were to come back online sooner and sales would increase. They're looking at possibly setting some funds aside for a refund for ratepayers, but that's all undetermined yet because the commission has not yet made a final decision.
Yeah, I was going to ask if when Husky comes back online, are the rates going to go down? But we wouldn't have any guarantees on that.
Well, they're looking to account for that right now, the Public Service Commission is. So, it's undetermined at this point what will happen.
All right. Okay, well, I know you'll be following this story very closely, and we'll get updates as necessary. Danielle Kading, WPR News reporter based in Superior, stays with us as the morning show continues on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. The Wisconsin Department of Justice is experimenting with a new program that would offer drug offenders treatment instead of jail time. Do you support this idea? Treatment rather than a jail sentence for drug-related offenses? Why or why not? Maybe you've faced a drug-related offense. What was your experience? Would treatment have been your preferred experience during that process? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Email address ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. WPR news reporter from Superior, Danielle Kading, stays with us as our guest in this segment. Danny, tell us about this statewide pilot program offering a choice between jail or rehab. How will this work?
So basically, there are three law enforcement agencies that are taking part in this. That would be the Superior Police Department, Door County Sheriff's Office, and the Sauk Prairie Police Department. And anytime a person that might be arrested for a nonviolent offense, but it's drug-related, they could refer them, instead of booking them into jail, they could refer them to treatment. Or if they come into contact with someone on a welfare check and they note that, you know, they're dealing with an addiction, they could offer to get this person help. And it's all aimed at reducing recidivism.
So who would be the offense must be nonviolent. Who else is that the only criteria for eligibility? What else?
Well, yeah, the offense would have to be nonviolent. So, you know, if someone were to commit a crime when they were high on drugs and they were hurting someone, that would obviously probably not be a candidate to take part in this pilot program. Usually it's the people who are committing property crimes, like they're stealing or shoplifting to support their habit. Those are the type of people that agencies come in contact with that would be able to take advantage of treatment rather than being put in jail because of their drug use.
Is there a sense of how many people these three communities might hope to serve?
I don't think so at this time. I think, you know, it's fairly new. I think they're hoping that they'll serve a lot of people so that they can keep them from using other taxpayer dollars, you know, as far as the amount of overcrowding that they see in the jails here. That's been an issue in Superior and elsewhere in northern Wisconsin. I know that it will be available to residents of Douglas County, even though it's the Superior Police Department that received the grant, and it will be the same in Sauk County, even though the Sauk Prairie Police Department received that grant. They're hoping to reach as many people as they can with the limited dollars that they receive.
So how is this being funded, and what does the funding cover?
So they received a $261,000 grant from the Wisconsin Department of Justice, and that funding would cover the costs of administering the program, and it may also help fund treatment services for people they come in contact with, as long as dollars are available. You know, they might use that grant money to send people, you know, get them a taxi cab to the treatment center or something like that. So that's what the money would be used for.
We're talking with WPR news reporter in Superior, Danielle Kading, and we want to hear from you. Have you faced a drug-related offense? What was your experience? Would treatment have been your preferred option during that process? What do you think? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So if someone in this program successfully completes it, what happens then? Do they still get charged for the offense?
No. If they successfully complete treatment, they won't be charged for the original offense. But if they don't meet their obligations under treatment, they could be charged with that offense. So it's all contingent on whether or not people actually follow through and are able to make it through the treatment services.
So who's tasked with managing the treatment?
So in Superior, the Superior Police Department is contracting with the Lake Superior Community Health Center, and they'll be providing things like medication-assisted treatment in a case where it might be an opioid addiction. Because, of course, there is no medication-assisted treatment available for people who have a meth addiction. It might also provide primary care and therapy. And they would talk to them and do case management and look at, you know, all the reasons why people might be addicted to drugs, you know, and housing and food insecurity play a role sometimes, and whether or not a person has the ability to stay sober. So they would be looking at all of those things to try and encourage people to kick the habit.
Now, the grant here is coming from the State Justice Department. Is this kind of a change in direction for the Justice Department? Traditionally, we've kind of just said, okay, if you've got drugs, you're going to jail. And do you have any idea of why they would support this pilot program?
Well, I don't think they would say that. The Wisconsin Department of Justice, through Attorney General Brad Schimmel, says that they've been working on treatment and diversion programs for the last 3 years, and that they've been doing that through increased training and staffing and data collection to try and look at places where this might be successful. And they've done a number of treatment and diversion programs across the state and put grant money towards that. I think it's becoming more common now, as we've seen that you can't arrest your way out of this problem. People realize that if you're going to try and keep people out of jail and reduce the cost to taxpayers that way, that you've got to help people up front and give them some services to keep them from reoffending once they're out of jail.
So this is a pilot program. It's being done in three areas in the state of Wisconsin. How long is this program expected to run? And let's go with that question first, and then I have a follow up.
Okay, I believe it's a 2-year program, so it would run through, I think, the end of 2019. It was supposed to start, It's a 2-year program.
So at the end of the 2 years, then, how will we know if the program has been successful?
That's a good question. I think that they're going to be monitoring it along the way to see whether or not people are remaining clean. And if they're helping people and keeping them out of jail, I think that will be the measure of whether or not this program works.
And let's say that it does work. Does it sound like if the program is evaluated and said, yeah, this works, that it could be expanded then to other communities or even statewide?
I think that is the hope. But, you know, one of the barriers for programs like this is that there are not a lot of treatment providers, especially in rural areas. A lot of the people I talk to in law enforcement who treat people who have addiction say we need more treatment centers across the state to deal with this crisis, especially with opioids. We need more treatment centers to be able to really make inroads on helping people with their addiction.
Let's take a quick call from Jim, who's joining us from Watertown. Jim, we're almost out of time here, so I'll ask you to be brief, please.
Sure. Okay, if the rehab centers that you're making here take the time to get the proper information to give to the kids to allow them to understand why they're getting sick, then yes, it's a good program. If not, it's just a training camp to get worse. I've been through rehabs. The only one I ever found that told me what was wrong with my head when I was sick was out of North Carolina. It's a state-run facility. Please get that information to these people so they can get better when they're ready. It won't cure you at going to a rehab center, but if you have the right information, it builds upon you getting better later.
All right, Jim, thanks for that. And Danny, we need more treatment centers. You've pointed out that people are saying this if we want to expand this program. Jim is saying, okay, not only do we need more treatment centers, they need to be giving the right message. I don't know how you would respond to that, but take a shot at it anyway.
Well, I think, you know, he has a point in that people have to be ready to treat their addiction. You know, if they're not in that place yet, if you put them in treatment, they won't be successful. So, you know, it's a difficult thing to treat. It's a problem that's going to keep happening until people are ready, whether it's the services that are provided or the person themselves, to meet that need.
Well, I know that you've been following the Wisconsin's drug issues for many years, and that you'll continue to follow this story. What are you looking for next as this pilot program continues?
I guess we'll just be following it to see how things work out and be checking in to see what progress is being made and if people are staying in treatment or ending up in jail.
All right. Danny, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, John.
Danielle Kading is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter in Superior and host of the regional program Hear Me Out. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.